And maybe I should start with 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Let me phrase it like we do in Ohio sometime. What in the world are we going to eat? What in the world are we going to drink? Amen. He said, don't be anxious about it. Take no thought. Wherewithal shall we be clothed? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? Amen. I want you to know that this coat I'm wearing was bought brand new at the store by the original owner. And I can prove it by Sister Hurst. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, amen. I not only am known for buying things slightly used. Amen. Sometimes folks gives me a whole bunch of stuff. Praise God. I like it. Amen. Wherewithal shall we be clothed? Amen. I'm wearing the spoils of many a battle. Praise God. And for after all these things do the Gentiles seek, don't we? That's why people are on strike. I see them sitting down here beside the road, up yonder sitting beside the road. Amen. What is it? It's the Gentiles seeking more of these things. Amen. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. You think he knows what we need? Amen. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Let me ad-lib a little bit here. Give you one off the cuff. Add a little to the scripture. If you don't seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things shall be taken away from you. Does that sound reasonable? Does that sound like that would fit? Amen. Don't say that there, but look at the rest of the world. Amen. Look at China. Look at Africa. Look at the Philippines. Amen. We're having to send relief to Korea. The North Korean famine is a whole lot worse than we can even imagine. Millions, literally millions, have died. And what little has been sent in the way of relief to that land so fenced off by an iron curtain from publicity to the world, what little they have received is like spitting in the ocean. Amen. You can't leave God out of your life and get by. Amen. You got to put God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And if we don't, look at the nations that haven't. Ravaged by war. Torn to pieces. Well, I'd like to talk for a little while tonight on a subject which I will call, if Jesus Christ is not first in your life, who is? If Jesus Christ is not first in your life, who is? You got that over there, Richard? They got that in the radio room. If Jesus Christ is not first in your life, who is? If Jesus Christ is not first in your life, what is? Hallelujah. If Jesus Christ is not first in your life, is there somebody taking first place part of the time? And will Jesus be satisfied to be a close second? Huh? Amen. Who is it that takes place of Jesus in our lives many times? Well, Jesus said himself, he that loveth father, mother, houses, lands, children, more than me, amen, not fit for the kingdom of God. Amen. Got to put God first. Got to put Jesus before everybody. Amen. Did you know Jesus told a fellow one time he wanted to go back and have his father's funeral before he followed him? He wouldn't even let him go back to the funeral. Why, nowadays we stop anything for the funeral. Poor old brother. We stop everything for the funeral. Amen. Man, I mean, just blubber, ball, and squall and climb the wall. Amen. Because they're having a funeral. Terrible, terrible thing. You know what Jesus told that fellow? Let the dead bury their dead. Let the dead bury their dead and you follow me. If Jesus is not first in our life, who is? If Jesus is not first in our life, what is? Huh? I asked Brother Richard Crane why he hadn't ever got married. He said, well, he said, I'm just afraid I'd love her more than I love the Lord. You don't have to worry about that. Amen. attachment, you know, it wears off after a while. Amen. Hallelujah. Say, well, I just don't love him anymore. So what? Amen. You married him. Shut up. Amen. Stick to your word. Stick to your gun. Stick to your vows. Amen. Some of these old gals going to church, not satisfied having a husband that works and makes a living, brings his check home, don't smoke, don't drink, pouting and messing around. Amen. They need somebody to take them over their checkered apron and give them a good spanking and send them home. Huh? Amen. You dummy, you knew what he was before you married him. Amen. You knew what she was before you married him. He probably had several warnings from several different people. Amen. You know what she was. Now you're married and got kids. You stay together for them kids. Well, I just don't let them stay together anyway. Amen. Be a man or a woman of your word. Praise God. You made them vows before God and all these witnesses. Keep your word. Huh? Praise God. Do what you said you'd do. You got children? Praise God. Stay together for those children. You got an obligation to those children. Yeah. Well, they just don't satisfy me. So what? Amen. Go to the house of God and live a life of prayer. Praise God and serve God anyhow. Hallelujah. Amen. John Wesley finally got married. And Charles told him, you have broken my heart. And he found out shortly after he married, he had a tiger by the tail. Amen. More than once, Charles wrote, I have seen her hands in those venerable locks. I mean, pulling his hair out. Of course, if he'd have got a haircut, he wouldn't have had so much hair to pull. Amen. Hallelujah. John Wesley needed a haircut. Amen. He needed to learn to baptize by immersion instead of sprinkling too. Amen. See, the Methodists, they had a good shouting experience, but they were not perfect in their understanding of the things of God. Hey, we ought to have to make up our mind to put God first. I'll tell you one thing about John Wesley. Even though his wife wrote letters ahead of him accusing him of adultery, amen, accusing him of all kinds of things, John Wesley never stopped. Amen, he kept going. Somebody said one reason he drove rode 5,000 miles a year to get away from her. I don't know. Amen, God knows how to send us into all the world, preach the gospel. Amen, hallelujah. Hey, Jesus Christ, if he's not first in your life, who is? Amen. Will Christ be satisfied with a close second? No. For Christ to be second in your life means that you have got another love. And he's a jealous God. He won't accept another love in our life. Amen. Then there's a test to let us know who is first in our life. Let's talk about the test. Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. You can't serve God on Sunday and put him on the shelf on Monday. You got to choose Monday, you're going to serve God. You got to choose God Tuesday, you're going to serve God. What day is this? What day is this? Huh? Say aloud. Choose you this day, Sunday, whom you'll serve. What day is tomorrow? If we make it to Monday, and some of us might not, we don't know. Things can happen awful fast. Unexpected things can happen awful fast. Amen. But if we make it tomorrow, we're going to have to choose this day whom we're going to serve, whether we're going to put God first or not. Choose you this day whom you will serve. We're going to have to say, I choose this day. April 26th, is it? 1998. I choose this day who I'm going to serve. And if anything else comes along and tries to get me to go another way or do something else, I'm going to say, no! I'd say it louder, but my sore muscle won't allow me. Amen. Amen. I'd holler louder, but I ain't got much to holler with. Praise God. Ooh, you say no. Oh, glory to God. And it's going to mean a whole lot if we make the right choice. How do we know what choice to make? I'll tell you how you can know what the right choice is to make when it comes to putting God first in your life. I'll tell you how you can know. Amen. Find out what God's doing today. What's God doing today? Well, praise God, we had church this morning. We had church tonight. That's what God's doing today. Ooh, what's God doing today? Praise God. He gave us a Bible to read tomorrow. And he gave us an altar to pray at tomorrow. That's what God's doing. Praise God. Hey, God's teaching us and leading us. Praise God. Hey, find out what God's doing and get on the bandwagon with it. Amen. I mean, we haven't got any business missing church. We haven't got any business leaving God out of our lives when we're not in church. Amen. What does the movies and TV do? It distracts men's attention from their doom. It lets men laugh all the way to hell. Amen. And much of the things that men enjoy in this world is just a distraction to keep them from looking to God. Keep them from serving God. What does the fun things of this world do for the world? What does the golf course do for the world? What does King's Island do for the world? What does the amusement parks, Disneyland, or what have you do for the world? It distracts their attention from hell. Amen. What does the amusement parks, what does the ballparks and the sports arena do for the world? It gives them something to do besides thinking about their eternal destiny. Amen. What does all the comedians of the world do? Amen. What does Bob Hope and 100 others do? What does a magician show do? It amuses people. It distracts their attention from their eternal perdition. It distracts them from their doom. It distracts them from the fact that tomorrow they're going to die. Amen. And men are laughing all the way to hell and plunging into eternity. Amen. What do we do to prove, amen, that we're going to put God first in our life? Praise God, we won't even take a job that won't allow us to put God first in our life. We'll take a job and make less money. Amen. Earl Ellis offered me a job and I didn't have to have a nickel. He offered me a job on Frisco Railroad, and I was 17 years old. I didn't have a car, didn't have a suit of clothes. Amen. I didn't have a extra dime hardly for anything. My best job was working 75 cents an hour at the sale barn on Saturday and once in a while for Floyd Cathy for 75 cents an hour. And he offered me a job where I'd have been making as much as my dad. And I said, well, I have to be gone on Sunday. He said, yeah, I said, sometimes we're gone 3 weeks on the train. He offered me a job as mail clerk on Frisco Railroad. I said, I can't take that job. I didn't have a dime. I didn't have a car. You know what happened to me if I'd have took that job? That would have come between me and my ministry. And I couldn't have put God first. Amen. Well, come on now. Praise God. Hallelujah. What is God doing today? Amen. Find out what God's people are doing today and get with it. Get with them. That's how you can tell. Find out what the best people in the world are doing and get with them. And do it with them. Praise God. And then ask yourself the question, what would Jesus do? You think Jesus laid up in bed and not go in the house of God today? The Bible said on the Sabbath he went to the synagogue as his custom was. He had the habit. We need to get a whole set of the right kind of habits. Come on. Amen. And he put God first. Praise God. It was his custom to go to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And a child of God that celebrates the resurrection on the first day of the week and Pentecost on the first day of the week, it's not hard for us to understand that we owe God one day out of seven and $1 out of every ten. Amen. That proves if we're going to put God first in our lives. Amen. If we give God $1 out of every ten plus a good offering, that shows that we're not worshiping money. Huh? That shows that we're not worshiping our bank account. Huh? Praise God. We've got a missionary comes along, we deliver his support mission. That shows that the dollar's not our God. Amen. Hey, praise God. If Jesus Christ is not first in your life, who is and what is? I tell you what's first in a lot of people's life, the dollar. That's why they can't tithe. That's why they can't give God one day out of seven. Go to prayer meeting revival every night. Amen. Midweek prayer meeting revival every night. Praise God. What would Jesus do? Amen. If the Apostle Peter lived in Hamilton and Paul lived in Hamilton, you think they'd come dragging out to church about an hour late? Huh? Praise God. You think Paul would say, now they don't give me enough money, they don't help me. Amen. Nobody's called me for revival. Nobody's sent for me to preach for them. So I'm going to quit? Why, no. Paul went when nobody supported him. He preached when nobody backed him. He made tents and backed himself. Paid his bills, praise God, and everybody that went with him. Amen. These hands, he said, have ministered to my necessities. Praise God, he went anyway. Hey, amen, if you got the call to preach the gospel, you're not sitting around waiting on some pastor all your life to call you. Amen. You'll not sit around on some waiting on some church to call you. Hallelujah. If you have to, you'll preach on the streets. If you have to, you'll appear like the prophet suddenly and disappear the same way. If you have to, you'll show up in the house of God on Sunday in the synagogue like Paul did. Amen. And they gave him a chance to testify. And boy, did he testify. Amen. They gave him a chance to read. And boy, did he read. And he preached Christ to them. Praise God. Hallelujah. They stoned him to death at Lystra. Amen. And I mean, brother, they left him for dead. And the disciples gathered around him and prayed. And God raised him from the dead. And I won't tell you what. Amen. You don't hit people with a bunch of rocks and stone to death. But what, you got some scars. Amen. You don't hit people with stone to death. But what, you got some places that need stitches. You don't hit people. The last thing they did when they stoned the man to death is they took a great big huge rock, amen, and dropped it on his chest to break every bone in his ribs and to crush his vital area. Amen. They stoned Paul to death at Lystra. Amen. They raised him from the dead, and with the scars still aching, amen, and with the scars still evident, and with his bones and muscle, every muscle in his body aching. Amen. He went right back into Lystra and preached the next day. Why? Because God was first in his life. Hallelujah. Amen. I got one muscle aching. Amen. Because I slipped on the stairs and slammed my body against the stairs. But Paul was caned 5 times within an inch of his life. I mean, when they caned you, they beat you up and down your body with rods, clubs. Amen. And you know what? So far as I know, he never missed a service, except when he was in jail. So far as I know, he never flagged nor dragged. Praise God. It'd been a bunch of us with a whipping around, whining around. Well, I guess they don't like me. I guess I'll just quit. I guess I'm not popular. I guess I'll just quit. He said 5 times I was beaten with rods. How could Paul go on preaching? Amen. Going through such things. Amen. And appear in church again the next day. Looked like he was just asking for a beating. Just looked like he was just asking for trouble. Amen. But hey, he was right there, Johnny, on the spot the next day. He knew what God was doing. He knew he just had one life to do it in. Praise God, and he wasn't going to waste any time. A day and a night, he was in the deep, shipwrecked a couple of 3 times. Amen. Hey, if it had been me, I'd have wondered if I was in the will of God or not. Amen. But you know what Paul did? He turned the shipwreck into an occasion for revival. Amen. And saved everybody's life on that ship. And when they got to shore, he prayed the prayer of faith for the governor of the island, and God healed him. Amen. Even when he got to shore, things didn't go too good. Praise God, he's trying to do his part to keep the fire going, and a snake bit him. If it had been me or Asher, we'd probably said, boy, I must miss God this time. Amen. Here I have escaped the ravages of the sea. Amen. And I'm trying to do my best to help people. And here a snake bites me. Amen. Some of the people who have done the most for God have gone through the most. You know what he did? Praise God. He just shaked the snake off in the fire. Oh, that rhymes, don't it? I like that poem you gave me, Randy. I didn't know you was a poem, a poet. Amen. He wrote me out a poem on his birthday card. Praise God. He shaked the snake off into the fire, praise God, and let the church roll on. Ooh, hallelujah. Amen. Who, he said, who is offended and I burn not? Poor little old me. They didn't treat me right at that church. Amen. Don't make any difference if they did or didn't. God's called you there, stay with it. Praise God. Poor little old me, them holiest folks that didn't treat me good. Amen. Bless your sweet little heart. I love you. Amen. And I'd like to love you more. Hallelujah. I'd like to be sweeter in my old age. Praise God. We're going to have to grow us a hide. We're going to have to put on our armor. Amen. And not be so super sensitive. If you come to church with a chip on your shoulder, daring somebody to knock it off, it'll get knocked off. Every time. Praise God. Hey, you're going to have to come to church determined, more determined than that, to serve God. Amen. If you're going to start jumping from church to church to church, the devil will never let you have rest. He'll never let you put down roots long enough to be an influence for anybody. And the people that you've invited to church, about time they get ready to come, you'll not be there. You'll be somewhere else. Where's so-and-so? Amen. They invited me for years to this church. They're out of pocket and gone. Hey, amen. If Jesus Christ is not first in your life, who is? If Jesus Christ is not first in your life, what is? And will Jesus be satisfied with a close second? Will Jesus play second fiddle to your wife, children, grandchildren, your houses, your lands, your boat, your recreation vehicle, your four-wheeler? Huh? Absolutely not. If we can't put God first in our life all the way through, be better travel a little lighter. Come on. Praise God. Be better travel a little lighter. Let's come around the altar and let's pray for the service tonight, that God will have His way in every life and every heart.